Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring.
Great Sunday.
Yes, it is. And that's my fine wife, Beth. Today we're going to talk about seven ways. Hallelujah. Seven ways to just energize your faith.
Hallelujah.
You know, thousands of books have been written on faith. Hundreds of thousands of sermons and millions of words discuss faith. Yet God stirred us to write seven things to make your faith grow. So growing our faith is an ongoing project, one that never ends. Faith is like a seed planted in your heart and in your mind. At the appointed time, God will give you a mega harvest, what you need, just when you need it. Colossians 2:7, New Living Translation. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. How do you grow strong in faith so that you can overflow with revelation, blessings, and thankfulness? It's a process. Smith Wigglesworth, the anointed English Bible teacher and healer, once said, "How can one come to possess great faith?" Now listen, here's the answer to that. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Faith must grow by soil, moisture, and exercise.
That's well put, and it's based on Scripture.
Great quote. James 2:18, Classic Amplified. But someone will say to you then, "You say you have faith, and I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith, apart from any good works, if you can. And I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith." Show me your faith is an action, because we exercise our faith by our actions. Here are seven keys to exercising your faith.
First, what you do in life will be a reflection of what you've learned. John 8:38, Classic Amplified Bible says, "I tell you the things which I have seen and learned at my Father's side, and your actions also reflect what you have heard and learned from your Father." It's not just about, it's not just what we've learned from the Word. It's what we've actually put into action or acted on. Knowledge and good intentions without faith is not going to really be of consequence. There are many people willing to tell you what they think, share what they know, but the question is, are they living? We're to live our lives based on what we've learned from Jesus.
Yes.
Philippians 4:8, Paul says in this in the Message Bible translation, says, "Summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized." Our personal prayer, really, for every believer is that you will recall and remember what you've read from the Word and heard from anointed teachers, and then use that revelatory knowledge to live it so you can effectively demonstrate your faith by living out what you learn from the Word of God.
Amen. Second, our greatest desire should be for our deeds to reflect God's instructions. WWJD. Yeah, did you ever wear the bracelet with those four initials? WWJD, posing the question, what would Jesus do? The phenomenon among Christian youth who wore the WWJD bracelets, t-shirts, began with a youth leader in Holland, Michigan, who coined the phrase for the group. Actually, the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" first appeared in print in Charles Sheldon's 1896 Christian classic, In His Steps, which was subtitled, "What Would Jesus Do?" The good news is that we don't have to wonder what Jesus would do.
Hallelujah.
We can know. And really, it's simple. 7 words. Read your Bible. Do what it says. Psalm 119:5. 119:5, New Living Translation. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Too many times, we base our decisions on what we think, instead what the Word of God says. Brother Kenneth Hagin once said, faith begins where the will of God is known.
Amen. Think of that. Third, faith must be an action or it will always be inactive. In James 2:17 in the Classic Amplified, we're admonished with these words. So also faith, if it does not have, thank you, Lord, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead. Yes, that is. Faith is a fact, but we must act.
Absolutely. Fourth, it's a team effort. Faith, knowing that God's word is true, and actions which unleash faith into the natural realm. James 2:22, New Living Translation. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. It's not enough to be full of faith and the Holy Ghost. The question is, what do we do with what we've got? Mark Victor Hansen, the author of the Chicken Soup book, said, your belief determines your action, and your action determines your results. But first, you have to believe.
Fifth, you will be rewarded for the actions you take and consequences when you don't, really. Proverbs 24:12 says in the New Living Translation, don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know, but for God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. That's quite a scripture.
It is.
God is moved by the actions we take through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Classic Amplified translation of Hebrews 11:6 says it this way. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for rewarder is G3406. G3406, and it means one who pays wages, a rewarder. He is one who pays wages to those who diligently seek him. Think of that. God will repay us for what we do, not what we think about doing or what we talk about doing. God will repay us for what our actions deserve. That's what the scripture says.
Absolutely. Six, our commitment to bring glory and honor to his name will automatically bring success to ours. Proverbs 16:3, New Living Translation. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed.
I love that scripture.
The amplified version of Proverbs 16:3 says, roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed.
Doesn't that make it crystal clear?
It does.
It really does.
Makes you want to, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
We're also clearly judged by the actions we take, the things we do. But we also have choices. Jeremiah 17:10, New Living Translation. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve.
There's again, what their actions deserve. He keeps saying it. Seventh, you'll be paid for your faithful actions. Revelation 22:12, Classic Amplified. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. Again, now here's the bottom line, and it's found in Psalm 143:10. Psalm 143:10, and I'm taking that out of the Contemporary English Version. You are my God. Show me what you want me to do, and let your gentle spirit lead me in the right path.
Wow.
That is
so
powerful.
Strong.
It is.
It really is.
Show me is an action phrase. It's about doing, not just talking about it. And if we want to move into a deeper revelation with an even greater manifestation of God and his wonderful blessings, then we must be actively following and implementing what he is, well, the Holy Spirit is pressing on us to do. A lot comes through the word. Feeding on his word is not only wise, it's actually tasty. Psalm 34:8, you gotta love it. Psalm 34:8 in the Message Bible says, open your mouth and taste, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Wow, that's good. Psalm 119:103 in the Message Bible says, your words are so choice, so tasty. I prefer them to the best home cooking. You gotta love it. With your instruction, I understand life. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to feed on the word. You never have to wonder or worry about what to do next, because the word of God is alive. It's like food that nourishes our soul, and our faith activates the word of God.
Hallelujah.
That is so good.
One final quote by Smith Wigglesworth. Fear looks, faith jumps. Faith never fails to obtain its object. If I leave you as I found you, I'm not God's channel. I'm not here to entertain you, but to get you to the place where you can laugh at the impossible.
Mm.
I love that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
For Rich Thoughts TV.
It is going to be so
dynamite.
Good.
We're going to teach you how to be a spiritual EMT.
That's right.
Not exactly what you're thinking.
That's right.
You'll have to dial in to find out.
Amen.
Go to Facebook at Brother Harold, and you can see it, and it'll bless you. So until tonight, or every morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.